right, so we're going to read this book. It's called The Candy Maker's Gift by David and Helen Hadel. And this is the legend of the candy cane. Long ago, on a cold wintry morning, a warm light glowed in the windows of a candy shop. The old candy maker shuffled to the front door and hung an open sign in the window. Turning to the pot-bellied stove, he knelt down to stir the coals and add several logs to the fire. Deep in thought, the old man slipped the linen apron over his head and tied it around his waist. All the while, he smiled, thinking about his 7-year-old granddaughter. "What can I give my Katie girl for Christmas?" he wondered. "I'd like to surprise her with a special gift." Reaching underneath the counter, the candy maker pulled out an old trunk. He unpacked a wooden hard hand-carved nativity set and carefully arranged the large figures on the ledge of the front window. After he put the trunk away, the candy maker bustled about, cheerfully refilling candy jars with mints, butterscotch drops, jelly beans, and candy sticks. He chuckled as he thought about Katie and the village children. He knew all the children by name, and he knew all their favorite candies. Looking over his list of Christmas orders, the old man marked an X beside the names of families with children. "I'll slip in an extra bag of candy for the youngsters," he said to himself. "I wish I could see the children's faces when they find the little surprise I've sent." Humming a Christmas carol, he opened the cupboard and took out an assortment of bows, ribbons, and small holiday decorations to trim the gift packages he needed to prepare. Suddenly, the doorbells jingled and a blast of wind and snow blew into the shop. To the old man's delight, a group of children scurried inside like a flock of little birds. Laughing and talking, the boys and girls crowded around the candy case, eager to select their treats. The candy maker smiled as he noticed how Joey, the youngest boy, pressed his worn mittens against the glass and looked over the candy. The old man knew times were hard for Joey's family since his father died. Everyone except Joey laid their coins on the counter and picked out their treats. The candy maker chatted with the children while he packed their candy in small bags and tied them with bright red ribbons. "I can't wait to decorate our house and tree tonight," said Ben. "I can't wait to see the expensive China doll I'm going to get for Christmas," bragged little Sarah. The other youngsters were silent. The old man knew that hard times had fallen on many families in the village. Most of them would have little to give this year for Christmas. Kim Lee piped up excitedly, "Mr. Candy Maker, did you know that our school party is on Friday? We're going to have treats and play games." The old man laughed. "Kim Lee, I know you always love to have fun." "Oh, time for school," said Ben, hearing the clock chime. Quickly, the candy maker passed out their sacks. Then he handed a small bag to Joey, whose eyes lit up as he reached for the gift. "Thank you. Merry Christmas," called the children as they scrambled out the door. Watching from the window, the old man glanced down at the manger set. He remembered watching his father carve it many years ago. "I hope the children won't miss the real gift of Christmas," he thought. Walking to the back of his shop, he knelt by a chair and prayed, "Dear Lord, you love these children more than I do. How can I help them know you and receive your gift of Christmas? Show me how I can bless them." Gripping the chair, the candy maker pulled himself up and wiped a tear from his eyes. He took down the old iron kettle, measured sugar and syrup into the pot, and then lit the kitchen stove. Patiently, he stirred the candy mix, waiting for it to boil. When the syrup began to bubble, a smile brightened his face. "Maybe that's what I can do. I'll make a new candy for Katie and all the children, a candy that tells about Christmas." What flavor should it be, he wondered. Cinnamon? Raspberry? Maybe peppermint. I know Katie likes peppermint. Picking up a small bottle, he carefully added 3 drops to the pot. He said, smelling the minty aroma. "This reminds me of the spices given to Jesus by the wise men." "I want this candy to be different from other candy sticks," said the old man. "It needs to be white because Jesus is holy. He lived a pure and sinless life, the life I should have led but didn't. And I want this candy to be hard, not soft or chewy. It can be a reminder that Jesus is like a solid rock, firm and trustworthy, always there when I need him." The candy maker poured the thick golden syrup from the pot into a bowl to cool. While he waited, he looked around his shop, wondering how else this candy could be special. Greasing his hands with butter, he pulled the sticky glob from the bowl and began stretching it. Then he pulled again, and the smoother and whiter it became. But he still felt discouraged. "Lord, I just can't think of what to make with this candy," he prayed. "Show me what to do." Looking over at the nativity set, an idea flashed on his mind. Using his hands, he quickly rolled a clump of the mixture into the shape of a long rope. Then he cut off a short piece and gently curved one end. Triumphantly, he held up the finished stick and smiled. "Now, what will Katie and the children think of this?" The doorbells jingled again, and a familiar voice interrupted the candy maker's thoughts. "Hi, Grandpa, I'm here." A six-year-old girl skipped across the room, her curls bouncing. The old man laid down his candy stick and turned to hug her. "Katie, how's my favorite granddaughter?" The rosy-cheeked girl laughed. "Oh, Grandpa, you know I'm the only granddaughter you've got." "Yes," he chuckled, "I know, but you're still my favorite." Katie's eyes widened when she spotted the candy stick. "What are you making, Grandpa?" she asked. "It's a funny shape." The candy maker sat down to watch her. "What do you think it is?" He wrinkled his brows, waiting for her answer. She grinned while she turned the stick sideways all around. "I know, it's a cane, like the one you always take on your walks." The old man laughed. "I hadn't thought of that. It does look like my cane when you hold it with the hook at the top." Katie pointed to the nativity set. "And it looks like that shepherd's cane." "You're right," he said. "Shepherds call it a staff. They lay their staff gently on a sheep's back, and it shows their love, like a hug or a hand stroke. The staff comforts a sheep. It also guides them on the right path. The hook at the end can help rescue sheep whose woolly coats are snagged in thorn bushes. Shepherds also use their staff to pull sheep away from danger, like a snake or a poisonous plant or a sharp drop-off on the side of a cliff." Smiling at his granddaughter, he added, "Go ahead and taste the candy." While Katie licked the sweet stick, he continued, "This staff can remind us of Jesus, our good shepherd. A good shepherd loves his sheep. He will do anything to save or to rescue his flock, even give his own life." The candy maker cut another candy stick and curved the end as he wondered, "How can I explain everything?" And then, turning the stick upside down, he asked his granddaughter, "Now what do you see?" Katie's eyes lit up. "It's the letter J. Why did you make a J?" He smiled, "Because at Christmas we celebrate the birthday of Jesus. This candy J is my special gift for you." "Oh, thank you, Grandpa. It tastes yummy, and it smells good, too." She paused, looking at the candy, "But it looks kind of plain. Could you make it more colorful?" "You're right. It does look rather plain." Nodding his head in agreement, the old man chuckled as he opened a cupboard full of small jars. "I wanted the candy to be white because Jesus is holy and sinless," he explained. "But I'll try adding some color." "Use red," said Katie. "I like red for Christmas." He took a jar from the shelf and picked out a small paintbrush from the drawer. "What does red make you think of?" he asked. Katie watched her grandfather dip his brush into the food coloring. "Red makes me think of hearts and love," she said. "Ah, you're helping me, dear girl," he replied with a soft voice. Slowly and carefully, the candy maker painted a swirl of red around the white stick. When he finished the long stripe, he looked up and said, "The Bible tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son." "Oh, Katie, I pray you will never forget the very first gift of Christmas." "Was baby Jesus the first Christmas gift?" she asked. His grandfather nodded. "Yes, Jesus was God's gift, a gift of love to the whole world. This red stripe can remind us of God's love." The old man spoke in a softer voice as he began painting another line on the candy stick. "Red also makes me think of blood, the blood that Jesus shed for us when he died on the cross." "It makes me sad that Jesus died," Katie said. "Yes, it is sad, but his death on the cross proved how much he loved you and me. It's a joy to know that Jesus willingly gave his life so we could be forgiven. When you taste the sweet candy, think about his sweet love. Just remember, Jesus isn't dead. He came out of the grave alive, and he lives with us today. That's a good reason to rejoice." Katie smiled and nodded. "And someday we'll live with Jesus in heaven, just like Grandma. Tears blurred the old man's vision. Yes, we will, forever and ever and ever. Heaven is God's free gift that never ends. The old man's eyes glistened, and he handed Katie the finished candy stick. Watch how you hold it. It's still wet. The elderly shopkeeper leaned back in his chair. Well, now, tell me, what do you think of it, Katie girl? Oh, I like it, Grandpa. Will you make some more? I'd love to give them to all my friends, and I can tell them what it means. He saw Katie's eyes sparkle. Yes, I'll make some more, he promised, and you and I will work together. After I cut each stick, you can curve one end and make it into a cane. You can even try painting the stripes. This is going to be fun, she said, jumping up and down. Tears of joy filled the candy maker's eyes. Silently, he prayed, thank you, dear Lord, for hearing my prayers, and thank you for Katie. The old man leaned forward and smiled at his granddaughter. Katie, dear, you were part of God's answer to my prayers today. I had wanted to give you a special gift for Christmas, but you gave something to me. You helped me make a candy that tells the real meaning of Christmas, a candy that reminds us of Jesus. Katie threw her arms around his neck and hugged him tightly. Oh, Grandpa, I love you. I'm glad that I could help you. Let's thank God for helping both of us, he said quietly. Together, they knelt and prayed that this candy gift would be a reminder of Jesus, God's perfect gift of love, and that through it, many would learn the true meaning of Christmas. Outside, the snow fell quietly, blanketing the little store. Inside, the warmth of the wood stove and the sweet smell of candy filled the workshop. The candy maker knew that he and Katie would always remember this day, but they never dreamed this sweet gift would become part of Christmas traditions around the world. Today we call it the candy cane. Isn't that great? So that's the legend of the candy cane. So the next time you eat a candy cane, I want you to think about Jesus. I want you to think about the legend of the candy cane and what it all represents. I want to talk for a few minutes about some of the things that we read in the story. And I think it's really important for us to understand today that the few things that the candy maker, and I think this is, it's just a beautiful, beautiful story. But the few things that he talked about, the first thing was that he wanted that candy to have a strong texture to it. And so I want you to know today that Jesus is the rock. I wonder if there's somebody here today and you might be going through a difficult time. You know, we're all celebrating Christmas, but you might be in a situation where finances are difficult, where emotionally you're going through a hard time. The powerful thing is that Jesus is always dependable. He's always strong. And I love that. Listen to the scripture. This is Psalm chapter 18 and verse 2. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I want you to know today that you can depend on the Lord. You know, maybe you're here today and you feel like you've slipped and fallen. Maybe you feel like you've messed up. I want you to know that if you just keep getting back up, God is so dependable. He is your solid rock. God has this extraordinary ability, this amazing way of reaching down into the depths of who we are, where we have messed up, picking us up and setting us on a rock. And so, kids, I want you to know that today, that when you feel like you need some help, you got to go to Jesus because he is dependable. He's like a solid rock, just like that candy that you're holding. You can depend on that. And so this texture that the candy maker said he wanted the candy to be like a solid rock. The other thing the candy maker said is he took time to shape the candy cane. And so what's that shape like? It's a shepherd's staff. Yeah, it's the shape of a staff. And so Jesus is our shepherd. And what does that mean? Well, he takes care of us. A shepherd takes care of his sheep. And he leads his sheep. He leads his sheep to food. He leads his sheep to water. And so the curve of the staff, the curve of the candy cane reminds us that Jesus is our shepherd. Listen to John chapter 10 and verse 11. It says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. And that's powerful. Jesus laid down his life for you. That's true love, that he gave his life for you. But I like the way the story said it, because that's exactly what a shepherd does. He would put his staff on a sheep to indicate that he was there, that he was steady, that he would guide them, that he would lead them. I wonder if there's someone here today that you need some of God's gentle love and guidance. And I want you to know that the scripture there says he's good. He is good. He is such a good shepherd. He will lead you. He will guide you. He will take care of you. The next thing the candy maker said is that he put it into the shape of a J. So Jesus is our Savior. And so Jesus actually means Savior. It's Yeshua, but it means Savior. Jesus means Savior. So every time we say the name Jesus, we're saying that he's our Savior, that he saves us. And so when you look at a candy cane, kids, I want you to think about that that's in the shape of a J, that it's in the shape of a J that represents Jesus. Listen to 2 Peter chapter 2 and 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 11. You will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so Jesus came to save us from our sin. Jesus came to rescue us. The next thing that the candy maker underscored was the color of that candy cane. It was red, and that represents Jesus shedding his blood. That represents Jesus giving his love, giving his life for us. And so when you see the red on a candy cane, think about Jesus dying for you. You know, we always say that Jesus was born in a manger, but he came with a purpose to save us. He came with a mission to die on the cross for us, to rescue us. And so Jesus gave his life for us. John 3 and verse 16, it's the most famous verse in the Bible. Millions, probably billions of people have memorized this verse throughout the century. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Jesus gave his life for you. Jesus shed his blood for you and I. And so even though we celebrate the coming of Christ, we understand that he came with a mission, that he came to give his life for us. And that's God's greatest gift to us. His salvation is his Son, Jesus. I thought it was sweet that in the book, he talked about the flavor of the candy cane. And I want you to know that the flavor is good. Jesus is good. He is so good to us, and he makes life better. Say amen to that. He makes life better. And so I've told you before that this is really good theology. You need to remember this. God is good. The devil is bad. I mean, that is just good theology. Just remember that. When you're going through a difficult time, that God is good. Even if your circumstances are bad, it doesn't change the fact that God is good. And kids, I want you to know that. Even if you have a bad day, God's still good. Even if you're not feeling well, Jesus is still good. Even if you don't get everything you want for Christmas, Jesus is still good. God is good, even if life isn't always good. And that's really important for us to remember, because sometimes when we start going through a difficult time, we start thinking, oh, wait a minute, is God not good? No, he's good. It's just that life is sometimes difficult. And so that's really important for us to remember. So Jesus is good. Listen to Psalm 34 and verse 8. Taste and see that the Lord is good. And I would say this, that the older I get, the more I can testify that Jesus is good. The more I can say, God is so good. He has taken me through so many things. In fact, I would say that the difficult times, but he's brought me through every single time. And he is a good God, and Jesus is good. Can you say amen, church? And so, kids, I want you to think about this. I want you to receive God's gift, Jesus. That's God's Christmas gift for you. I know a lot of us kids here, and maybe adults too, are thinking a lot about the gifts that we're going to receive. But while we're here at church, I want you to think about the greatest gift, which is Jesus. And Jesus wants you to receive him into your life. Listen to Romans 6 and verse 23. The gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. It's a gift. It's a gift. You can't earn your salvation. It's a free gift. Listen to Ephesians 2 and verse 8. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. Salvation is a gift. Otherwise, we could earn it. And so this is really important for us to realize. And I think about this on Christmas. Most of you kids probably couldn't have gone out and bought your Christmas gifts. Your parents got those for you. They were gifts. You didn't earn them, but that's what they are. They're gifts. God gives us gifts, and that's the way it is with salvation. You can't earn your salvation. You can't buy your salvation. You can't get a ticket to get salvation. You receive God's gift, and that's Jesus. And so this is God's Christmas gift for you. And it's by his grace. And so God really wants you to be thinking about Jesus at Christmas. Can you say amen? And so kids, I really want you to think about this, that Jesus is so good. If you could get this in your heart, as you're learning about Jesus, as you're studying about Jesus, as you're coming to church, Jesus really does want to be your best friend. And he wants to be there to help you. When you feel lonely, that you can call out to him. Jesus wants to be your best friend. That's why we always emphasize that he wants to have a personal relationship with you. And that's what we want you to learn. Amen, church. And so Jesus wants to be your very, very best friend. That's God's greatest gift to us today. Amen.